Welcome to episode 239 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to comprehend how we're already more than halfway through 2025? Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're playing Mid-Year Board Game Tag. Since we were tagged by Rolling Reggie, we're responding by answering some questions about the first half of our year. And now, here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
It is July, and recently we were both on vacation and didn't really play many games, so we're going to skip that section. And we also got tagged in a mid-year board game tag by Rolling Reggie. So over on YouTube, Rolling Reggie is a YouTuber about board games.
Like, the best human, like, super nice. Have gotten to hang out with Reggie at cons and stuff. And if you aren't following Reggie on YouTube, follow the link in the show notes and go subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Yeah, but this is his third annual mid-year board game tag. So he makes up questions, which I think 8 questions.
I guess we'll find out when we answer them.
Yeah, they were numbered, so I think it was 8, where he asks about, like, how your year in board game is going so far. And then he tags a bunch of different creators. So he tagged us as a podcast. I'm also going to do a video version too, which it'll be the same, but but yeah, and you could also answer. You could also answer the tag in the comments too. He basically said, like, I'm tagging you if you want to do it too. Like,
yeah, so any of you out there listening to this, like, go subscribe to him on YouTube and then go find his mid-year challenge video and comment on it and answer the questions yourself.
Yeah, so we're going to be answering those questions for this whole podcast episode. So
easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Easy peasy. But the questions are about your gaming. It doesn't have to be specific games that came out this year. They could be any game, but the questions will be what the questions are.
Let's get into them.
Yeah. So the question number one is, what is your favorite game so far this year? And that doesn't have to be new to you or like that came out this year. It could just your favorite game this year. So
and yours is probably going to not be surprising to anybody who's been listening.
So mine is Bombusters, which
I would be shocked if anything unseats this as your game of 2025, truly.
Like, well, it was my game of 2024. It was like my favorite game because it came out last year. It was my favorite game
that came out last year.
Of 2024.
Yeah,
Okay. I think I didn't play it until like December, but I've been playing it more and more. I'm about halfway through now. I think we've done 32 or 33 missions. There's 66 total.
So you're almost halfway through. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I love Bombusters. It's a cooperative game with limited communication. I love those types of games. You're trying to snip each other's wires and bombs. You have numbered cards that you're arranged in order. So it has like a Hanabi feeling. You give clues at the beginning and then you're trying to do like go fish. You're saying, oh, is this a number two? And then if you have a number two and you're trying to like match up pairs, but like, you know, people's numbers are in order and then you have some special powers that you can use and you can, when you get something wrong, you lose a life, but you also, they give a hint, like they tell you what number it was. And so it's a lot of deduction, limited communication, cooperative game. And I like that a lot. And then there's different missions, which I mentioned already, that have different rules to it. And I'm not going to like go into detail on those. But yeah, Bombusters, it's a great game. My favorite game of this year.
For me, my favorite game that I've played this year, I'm picking something on the lighter side with a caveat. So I think Flip 7 has kind of been my favorite game that I've played this year. The reasons will become obvious when we get to a different question. But I do want to caveat that with that I haven't finished the campaign in Wandering Galaxy or Ticket to Ride Legacy yet, because life has kind of gotten in the way of those campaigns and getting together with the people I'm playing them with. So I think that either of those probably has a chance to become one of my favorites of the year. But since I haven't finished them, it's hard to like they're really good, but they're not, you know, it's just like I'm in the midst. So yeah. Flip 7 is just a freaking solid card game. Like, that is going to be one of those games that hobby gamers that play it and like it are going to keep in their collections and bring everywhere and pull out all the time. Like, I see that being a perennial favorite for a long time to come.
I don't really like Flip 7, but,
hey,
but
man,
I know a lot of people like it.
Right? Yeah. Well, I'll move on to the number two question, which is, what is your most played game? And the reason, I think Flip 7 is my most played. I don't track my gameplays anymore, which I always regret when we do episodes like this.
Yeah, you need to start doing that again.
But I hate tracking. It's the worst. I think the other one that might be a contender is Sausage Sizzle, which I also adore. I have the power to make any table full of people yell, "Wieners!" very loudly with other people nearby. And that power is something I do not take for granted. And I've done this to multiple groups of people now in different locations, different places, cons, not cons. And everybody gets so excited to yell, "Wiener!" when those little hot dog symbol rolls on the dice. I tell you what, if you want joy in your life, play some Sausage Sizzle. It's pretty good. And what's your most played game, Andy?
So I do log my plays. I log my plays using BG Stats. But yeah, I have 70 different games, 206 plays, and 43 plays of those are Bomb Busters. So Bomb Busters is my most played game by far.
Nice. All right. Well, Ambi, then I would like to hear your answer to our number three question. What was your biggest surprise so far this year?
All right. I think we've mentioned before on the podcast that, like, a lot of times I don't get surprised too much because I'm not like...
You don't have expectations like some people do.
Yeah. If you don't have expectations either way, it's hard to get surprised. But Mookie Island is a children's game that I got as a review copy presented by Hachette Board Games USA. This is a two-player card game for kids or like for your parent and kid. I think on the back of the box it says like, try to beat your parent, but it's a kind of a set collection card game, and I was surprised that like I actually enjoyed it.
Nice.
Like it actually felt kind of strategic and stuff, and usually with kids games it's not that like cutthroat and stuff, but like with a two-player it actually felt kind of like a two-player game where you're trying to be cutthroat and like taking card that the other person might want or like giving them the bad card. There's not that many actions and it's super simple to play, but it actually had like some of that two-player tension and I was like, wow, that's actually pretty surprising. So that was Mookie Island.
Nice. And I mentioned this during our recap of Dice Tower West, but my biggest surprise of the year was Aquatica. Not because I thought it was going to be bad, but it was just one of those games that, for whatever reason, even though a lot of people had talked about it and liked it, in my own brain, I had just kind of never had a real interest in it particularly. Like, it just, for whatever reason, didn't strike me. And I sat down and played it, and I was like, this is freaking amazing. Like, it has so many elements that I really enjoyed and things that I didn't even know were in it. Like, you have a hand of action cards, and once you play it, you don't get it back into your hand until you take a specific action to get the cards back into your hand or somebody else does that thing. There's multiple goals that you're working toward, but as you achieve goals, you lose access to certain tokens, which give you, like, it basically, as you get more things accomplished, it makes doing the other things a little bit harder, which is, it helps balance the game out in a way. It's so smart, and it does all of that and plays in like 30 minutes, and it is baffling how it does that. I don't understand how. It's magic and I love it. And then Amanda Panda bought me a copy because she's she's the sweetest because she saw how much I fell in love with it and she was like, you have to have it. So yeah, my biggest surprise was Aquatica. It shouldn't be surprising that it's as good as a lot of people say it is, but it is.
All right, number four is, what game's production or art has impressed you the most? For me, this was The Lord of the Rings Fate of the Fellowship, which is the new pandemic Lord of the Rings themed pandemic game. It doesn't feel that much like pandemic, but I mentioned this on the podcast. I talked about this last month on the podcast, I believe, but the production was my favorite part of it. I really like Lord of the Rings, so it had like, when it was setting up, I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's got this big cardboard dice tower that's like the Eye of Sauron and Barad-dûr the Tower, and then it's got little meeples, like mini meeples. They're small for each of the armies. The little elves and dwarves, they're different colors, but they have little swords and shields. It's a silhouette of like a person with a helmet and sword and a shield. And then the orcs, I think they had like spiky helmets or something. They looked different, and they were also mini meeples. And then there's plastic Nazguls. They have like the clear stand, so they are flying up. So they're like actually up on the board, flying above the people. So yeah, I really liked the production of The Lord of the Rings Fate of the Fellowship.
Nice. So for my answer for this question, I picked a game specifically that I just like the art style of, like the artwork. The production, it's a card game, so there really isn't anything, like, the production of the game itself isn't necessarily impressive, but I picked Cafe, which is a game that came out in 2020, and the art is done by a Portuguese artist named Marina Costa. I looked it up. She's done art for a handful of board games, and she also illustrates children's books, apparently, but the art style used in Cafe specifically is kind of like an Art Deco or Art Nouveau style, and it's done very well. I don't know, it's really pleasing to look at. It fits the style of the game itself. And I think it looks unique in comparison to a lot of other games of this, you know, genre, kind of. Like, her style is very distinctive, and I really like it. So that's why I picked Cafe.
Cool.
All right, so you and I haven't been doing as much gaming, so this question can kind of stem back from beyond 2025 if we need it to, but what has been your most reliable introductory board game? That game that you're using to bring people into the hobby. I will say, I haven't brought anybody into the hobby in a while, with some exceptions, but I'm curious to hear your answer.
Yeah, same here. I was looking at my stats, and I haven't played with anyone new to the hobby, other than, I guess, I read My First Adventure to my niece when I visited there. But, like, she already had that book. But I did remember that I did go to, like, I had hosted a couple of board game days at my kids' school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're in TK, so that's, like, 4 to 5 year olds. And so I brought some games there, but I didn't log them because I wasn't playing. And, like, for some of them, we were kind of, like, having them rotate around, and so other people were in charge. So I brought a bunch of different games, and I think First Orchard was the most reliable. Like, people liked that one and were able to play it, like, follow the rules and stuff, because the people were at different levels, and some people could understand more complex games and some couldn't as well, and some did better and some didn't like the competition and other games and stuff. And so, yeah, First Orchard is a hobby game for 2 year olds and up. You're rolling a die, matching the color and grabbing that fruit and putting it in a basket. It's cooperative, and then if you roll the raven, then the raven's going to move up a step, and you're trying to collect all the fruit into the basket before the raven gets to the garden. And there's one wild basket on the die where you get to pick the color of the fruit. So there's some thinking there on what's the best color to pick. But yeah, it's a great first game for people. And so, yeah, very introductory board game, First Orchard.
But yeah, that's perfect for little kids, right? Color matching is an important skill, and it helps with and fine motor skills as well. Taking turns. Yeah, there's a lot of, it's funny because we've discussed this before, that hobby gamers like to kind of, you know, like poo-poo kids games to some degree. But a lot of kids' games have some very important things in them that are really fundamental in learning how to play a game. And so I try and focus on that stuff when I'm looking at those types of games. So for me, my first nephew was born 10 years ago. He is 10 now, which is absolutely bananas to me that he's already 10. And literally before he was born, I bought him his first board game. I think I was the tinned version of Animal Upon Animal. And my sister promptly put it into a closet and then lost it. It disappeared into an ether. Like, we don't know where that game went. But by the time the child was old enough to play it, it was no longer anywhere that anyone could find it. But I literally have been buying them board games, like James and then his younger brother, Leo, now who is 6 now. Oh my gosh. I've been buying them games their whole lives. And a lot of them just kind of sat on the shelf. Like, they weren't really getting into games early like your boys were. And I think that's not because my sister and her husband aren't gamers. They just aren't hardcore gamers. Like, that's not the thing that they think to do first. And also, with some games, I think they're intimidated by the idea of having to learn and then teach them, especially some of the ones that I would buy, right? Like, I'm not. So, for instance, I backed Cora Quest on Kickstarter and shipped it to my sister directly. She looked at that game and she put it on the shelf and she put it away and did not touch it. And I can't blame her, truly. Like, that game is intimidating for somebody who does not play hobby games regularly and who has 2 small children that they would theoretically have to teach it to. So she just didn't ever pull it off the shelf. But this year, I went and visited and I said, we're playing Cora Quest. And I pulled it off the shelf and literally both of my nephews fell in love with it, have played every scenario in that game multiple times now. James, the older one, started designing his own board game right after that. I think I don't think he really went anywhere with that. I think it's kind of gone the wayside, but he's very like engineering minded. Like, he loves to build robots and things like that. So making a board game really kind of fit in his wheelhouse. And I think if you as a hobby gamer are doing the teaching, it really can change up what can be used as an introductory game, especially because like I was changing rules on the fly during that very first playthrough. Like, I would literally look at a rule and be like, that's going to be too difficult for a first play for what we've got going on. And I would just skip over it or ignore it. That's important. I think you have to have some overarching knowledge of what is going on and what is going to happen. When people say like, oh, your first board game, it's really different if you ship a game to somebody and expect them to learn and play it, or if you are teaching a game to somebody for the first time. Like, there's a really big difference there. Maybe we should do an episode about that at some point.
Yeah,
but
sounds like a good topic.
Yeah, like, because everybody talks about, like, what should be somebody's first board game. Mm-hmm. Well, are they learning it themselves or is someone teaching it to them? Because that's, it makes a difference. But I will say, I had luck with Cora Quest with the nephews, so that's going to be a winner for me.
I should try playing that with my kids again, because they were not old enough for it when I tried it before. And yeah, I got, like, intimidated by the rule book, because I was like, I'm trying to read the rule book when the kids are like, let's play.
Honestly, do what I did. Like, I sat down while the kids were distracted first, right? Like,
That's hard. I know.
And I read through what I could of the rule book. And then for the scenario specific stuff, literally, I just winged it. Like, I literally was like, okay, we're doing this. Okay, we're going to try and get from that room to that room. We're going to collect that thing. Okay, this is what happens if you get downed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would even tell them, I was very upfront. I told them, I said, we're playing with some modified rules because this is our first time playing. I didn't want to, like, I made it a good experience, but I made it a truthful experience because I didn't want them to come back later and read the rule book and be like, this is not what Auntie Crystal taught us. So I think they've incorporated more of the regular rules since I taught it to them, but I don't know for sure. I think so. But yeah, you should try it with the boys. I bet they would love it.
All right. Number six is, what game do you want to get off your shelf of shame in the second half of the year?
So I saw your answer to this, Amby, and mine is literally the same.
Oh, like, I didn't know you had it. Oh, yes. Let's say what it is. So, so for mine and yours, apparently, is City of Six Moons.
Yes.
So
has technically not been designed. It was found.
Yes. So City of Six Moons is a solo board game designed by Amabel Holland, or found by Amabel Holland.
Found.
But, like, the premise,
everybody listening that doesn't know about this is like, what are they talking about?
The premise of the game is that it's an alien game, like a game created by aliens, and it was discovered, and you need to discover what the rules are. So it has, like, all the components and stuff, and it has a rule book, but it's in an alien language. It's kind of like a language deciphering board game, rule deciphering game. Like, if you're an archaeologist or something, finding something and trying to figure out when you don't know what the language is at all, just from what's there. I thought that was really cool. Like, I play lots of puzzle games, like puzzle video games, and so, like, this has been popping up a lot in people who play puzzle video games and stuff. And I got it back in, like, November of last year, and
I got mine in September. I'm kind of scared to open it. Yeah. Because I'm like, oh gosh.
Well, I've been meaning to stream it because I want to stream it. I just haven't found the time to, like, start streaming it because I'm streaming other things. And so, like, I want to get a good starting point for it. And I also have to have my overhead camera set up for streaming it. And it's so much easier to stream video games. So I'm like, okay, I need to get it. And then recently Shut Up and Sit Down, I think, did a video of it. And so I was like, oh yeah, I should open mine. Like, I need to play that.
If you would be interested in having companionship while you did it, I mean, you could still do your top-down camera, but I could chat with you online streaming, and we could do it kind of together, quote-unquote. Like,
that might be
it's
fun,
a solo game, but we could discover it together.
Well, that's partly why I wanted to stream it, so that people could help me. Like, if I have no idea what's going on, then, like...
That's why I'm suggesting this now also, because it makes it less intimidating to know that I'll have a friend.
Yeah.
So, anybody who's listening right now, if you want to see Amby and I stream the found alien board game City of Six Moons, let us know and maybe we'll do that. And then what's really funny, Amby, is the next question on the list: which game from 10 plus years ago did you discover this year? And you and I discovered the same game at the same time, because it was at Dice Tower West, and it was laying out on a table, the giant version of this particular game, which I have seen laying on board game tables at cafes for years. Like, I've seen it laying out ready
to
play.
The giant version?
Not the giant version, just a regular version. But, like, at Meepleville here in Vegas, that game has been on a table ready to play in multiple instances. And I've been like, I should play that sometime. Never did. What's the game I'm talking about, Amby?
It's Marrakech. How do you say it?
Marrakech, I think.
Marrakech. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's Marrakech.
Yeah, the rug lane game.
Yeah, the rug lane game from 2007? 2007, yeah. So yeah, this is a, it's kind of an abstract-y game, but like everyone's rolling a die, moving a their person, and then landing on a space, and then laying a rug down next to them. And if you land on a space that has rugs of other people, it's kind of like area control type thing. You have to pay them according to how big their rug area is. But then you keep laying rugs on top, so then it breaks up their areas and stuff. And it can get pretty cutthroat. It's one of those
games. Yeah, it's one of those games that's mean, but it's like mean to everybody all the time. So it really doesn't feel like quite as targeted, but there were moments where we were like, don't you cover up my rug.
And I actually first heard about this game on our podcast because Cassidy had played it like a long time ago.
Oh yeah, she mentioned it forever ago. Shout out to our former co-host Cassidy, who used to be on the show. For those of you who never got to hear Cassidy episodes, if you go way back to the first couple years of the podcast, you'll get to hear Cassidy.
Yeah, and I guess neither of us had played it until this year, so that's
till this year.
Marrakesh.
And I'm glad I did. I really did like it. It's not one that I'm clamoring to add to my collection, but I would totally play it again. Like, if I was killing time at a con, which is kind of what we were doing in that moment, I would definitely play it again.
Same here. All right. And the final question, or the final official question, number 8, is which anticipated releases are you most excited about for the second half of the year? I wasn't actually sure. So I was like looking at my want to playlist, but I also just on Facebook, one of my friends was at Dice Tower East and posted a picture. One of the pictures looked like a neat deduction game, but she didn't have any captions on it or anything. And then someone's like, what's this game called? And she said, it's called Codicus. And so now that's on my want to playlist.
That's you're like, I saw a picture. I learned the name. Well, it's on my want to playlist.
Okay, in her reply, she did say they bought it or something, or they want to buy it immediately or something. So they like played a demo and then are going to buy it. So I'm like, okay, yes.
Okay.
I'm excited for that. Yes. So deduction. Then I went and looked at my want to playlist. There's Boba Kiki, which is coming out. That's designed by Jonathan Schaffer, who we had on the podcast before. That's like a party game, I think, about the idea that Boba and Kiki, when you say that to people, Boba sounds more bubbly and Kiki sounds sharp.
I forgot about that one. I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah, so it's gonna have other nonsense words, and then you have to try to like match them up to the pictures, I guess. And
I love it. Yeah, I'm in 100%.
Also, Flickering Stars, which I'm not sure if it's out yet, but this is a dexterity game, team dexterity game by Matt Leacock, the designer of Pandemic. And so I had playtested this a long time ago in 2017 at a convention. So I was super excited to see that it's finally coming out because it was fun. It was like a dexterity flicking game with spaceships and stuff. And I liked the playtest. It's probably changed a lot, but I'm excited about that. And then also Severton is a cooperative game by Vlada Shvatil, and he's like my favorite designer and hasn't had a game in a while. So I was just excited to see a new Vlada game, Severton.
For me, it's funny because I kind of started looking down. I used some Gen Con preview lists as kind of my gauge because a lot of the big releases for the remainder of the year are going to happen at either Gen Con or Essen, but not all the Essen ones are going to hit the States. So I was like, I'm not going to look at the Essen list. And I kid you not, I kept looking at games without looking at the publisher and just going, ooh, that sounds interesting. And I put it on my list. And then I was like, oh, I should look at who is publishing all of these games. And 5 out of the 6 games that I put on my list are from Allplay. I am not kidding you. And that's not even all of their games on the list. Like, they have a lot of games coming out this year, and they all sound freaking fabulous. There's Twinkle Twinkle, which has clear tiles that you're putting on top of stars to make constellations, and then you can use an app to score. You can literally take a picture of your board and the app will score for you. Oh, yeah, wow. I know. There's Waddle, which is about penguins, and I don't care what else is. It's a tile laying game, I think. No, it has marbles in it. There's marbles. I don't care. Something. And I think that one's by Corne Van Morsel. Yes, which is a designer that I also really like. So that one for sure. There's a game from them called Vegas Strip coming out, which I live in Vegas, so Vegas games are, and it's a partial deduction game. Ooh. It's a bluffing and deduction game because some of the casinos are corrupt and you only have some of the information, and then you're putting money into different casinos, and depending on whether they're corrupt or not, it affects how they score. Sounds relatively quick and simple, but very fun. There's a card game coming from Allplay called Soda Jerk, which is designed by our friend of the show, Chris Yee, who also used to live in Vegas. Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? What? Yeah, he designed a game and it's coming out from Allplay at Gen Con. Cool. And the artwork is very, like, vintage-y looking. It's, like, a traditional, like, soda jerk, like, from an old, like, diner. Like from a, cool. So, it's really, it looks very cool, and I am very excited about that one. Oh, and Alibis, which I think I might have mentioned. It's a word deduction. I don't remember.
That's on my want to playlist too.
Yeah, it's cooperative.
Cooperative deduction word deduction. Yeah. It's on my want to playlist. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I 100% want that. Okay, so the one game that I wrote down that's not from Allplay is actually coming from Paverson Games, who I'm not super familiar with, at least to my knowledge, but the theme is what's drawing me in here. The game is called Class of 89. The description says, assemble a radical high school yearbook spread set in the late 80s. And I'm in 100%. Like, yes, I want it. I want the 80s theme. I want to make a yearbook spread. I don't know if the game will be any good, but with the theme, I'm in. So, oh, and I also, I know that this is probably me speaking preemptively, but on the backer kit page for 1001 Odysseys, it says estimated shipping
like 3 years.
Yes, no, it says estimated shipping 7/2025 this month. So supposedly, okay. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if it's happening, but I've been waiting for this dang game for so long. I don't even know what my expectations for it are at this point. Like, I just want it, and I've been talking about it being on my most anticipated list every year now for so long that it seems like it might actually come out this year, so fingers crossed. All right, and that was the last official question, but we do have one bonus question. So the bonus question was, what was our favorite video, but since we're not a video channel, we're a podcast, we'll say podcast episode that we've done this year. You and I also both had the same answer for this one.
Yes.
For the same reason too, I imagine.
Yes, probably. So this was our Kubla Cool episode, which was episode, I did not look at the number.
Kubla Cool. Also, I like the name of that one.
Yeah, that's a good name.
We put a decent amount of thought into naming our episodes.
Yes, so Kubla Cool was episode 236. And the reason that we both like it is because my kids were on it. And
with
this
us.
Is like,
and it was amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it. They've been on podcasts before, but like they were talking to Crystal this time.
Yeah, like in the past, you've kind of recorded with them separately and then put them in. This was our first time recording a podcast kind of in real time with like, them being
with
present
them. Yeah,
I love the boys neat. I love interacting with them. I love talking to them, and so I was just like beaming the whole time. I was so excited.
So
that one, absolutely my favorite. I still say that someday they're gonna take over the podcast, and I'm here for it.
They'll inherit the podcast.
Yes, they're gonna inherit it. All right, so we were tagged, we answered the questions. Now everybody, please, if you haven't already, go over to YouTube and hit that subscribe button on Rolling Reggie's channel and comment on that video with the challenge and let him know your answers to these questions. You know those analytics over on YouTube love the comments. So come on, go give him a comment, help boost the algorithm, do all the stuff. And thanks so much for listening.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, boardgameblitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. Vikings to Arms! The 10th anniversary edition of Champions of Midgard is still available for late pledges on GameFound, so grab your horned helmet and get your copy today. And if you want to pick up some games at grayfoxgames.com, you get 10% off your entire cart, including exclusives, when you use the code BLITZ10 at checkout. Join the Blitzketeer community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, gaming in a chair. Bye, everyone.
Bye. What game is it, Ambie? And you just took a drink of water, so now sorry, I realized it as I was saying it. Don't spit your water out. Okay.